This conference will.
Mary Jo?
Yeah, kick
this
off.
This conference will.
Great. So today we're going to talk about Vince Pocenti, and Vince Pocenti was one of my favorite guys at the event that we had, the National Association of Professional Network Marketers that I went to. So I wanted to share his great stuff. I think I spelled his name wrong, by the way. Oh, she fixed it. Okay. She gave me an earlier draft of the outline. I was like, what? That's not his name. Okay, so you have the right spelling. All right, so Vince Pocenti. So what was Vince? Vince is a guy, let me just give you a little bit of his background, and then I'm going to run through the five C's with you. Vince Pocenti was a guy who grew up in Canada. He's a Canadian, so we must have Peggy from Porcupine on the call, so she'll be excited. I'm talking about one of her compatriots up there in Canada. Anyway, so he grew up, and he was a skier, and of course, as a little kid, he went through a lot of different quote-unquote defining moments. You're going to hear about that concept. And at 26, he decided he was going to be a speed skier. That means people that go down the hill at 160 miles an hour. It was a new event they were trying out in the Olympics coming up 4 years later. And so he decided he was going to do it. Now, how unrealistic was that? Totally. But he chose it. He didn't think about what was going to stop him. He just said, I'm going to do it. He had clarity of vision, and he went through it, and he ended up, no one thought he had a chance. He was doing the craziest stuff. I mean, it was, when you hear the stories, and I can't get through all of them today because we don't have time, but it was amazing what he went through over the next 4 years. And do you realize that this guy ended up on the hill at the Olympics 4 years later vying for the gold medal? Isn't that incredible? I mean, he had a chance at the gold medal. And it wasn't, I mean, he made it to the final round. So it wasn't that he just got on the hill with, the 50 qualifiers. He made it to the final round. So it was an incredible story. He didn't win it, but it wasn't about victory. It was about a victory of just being there in the moment for what he said. It was the clarity of vision he had about being in the Olympics and being in speed skiing in the Olympics. So through his adventures and all of this, he developed a real understanding of what it takes to reach a goal, what it takes in each and every one of us to reach our goals. So he started building materials, and he's become an inspirational speaker all over the country. I gave you his website, www.beinvincible.com, and I suggest you go there. You can see Vince, and when you look at some of the pictures of him, you can just imagine Mary Jo doing that at the regional convention in Lubbock, because that's exactly what I did this weekend. I was on the chair skiing downhill at 160 miles an hour. So it was a lot of fun to do that. But the concept is, how do we get the ant and the elephant going in the same direction? And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, but a lot of you understand this concept. You just heard it from a different perspective. But I want to open, I love the ant and elephant type story because it gives another way of looking at it. You see, our brain, our thinking process, you know, how we think, what we think of, is and what we put in our head is our ant. And, you know, like we can say, hey, I want to lose weight, that's in our head. So we choose to lose weight. But the problem is that we got this phenomenal other side to us called our subconscious, which is the size of an elephant compared to the ant. And when the ant says they're going to go do something, if the elephant isn't in alignment with the ant, what happens? It doesn't get done. Just like some of you are saying, I'm going to be a presidential in Manatech, and guess what? The elephant is turning the opposite direction. If my aunt says I want to go east and the elephant wants to go west, who's going to win? The elephant. So it's that substance in our life that's potentially controlling us that we're not aware of, that we haven't learned or developed any strategies on how do I control it? How do I stop that elephant from running away with my life so that my aunt can truly choose whatever it wants, right? So critical thinking, critical. And some of you have been through Clemmer, and you know that number one versus the number two, so it's taught differently in different ways. But I like his ant and elephant scenario because it gives you a visual of the reality of the power of the two. You know, it's the power over the two. So let's jump in and talk about what it's going to take. And he came up with a concept of five C's. So we're going to talk about the five C's to, you know, just to accelerate you and explode your business and your direction in life, whatever that choice is that you have in terms of your vision for your life. So the first C is, of course, clarity of vision. And the clarity of vision is crucial for all of us. And most of us don't have a lot of clarity of vision. We live in a society that has what? Tremendous fast pace out there. Things are happening all around us all the time. And are there plenty of distractions? Yeah, because fast paced changes make it really difficult for us to isolate a vision. You know, it's like something new comes up every other day, right? And I mean, like, if you look at about 10 years ago, whoever thought we'd walk around with a little computer in our hand called our smartphone, right? You never could have conceptualized that. So it's really difficult for us to get clarity of vision because we have such a massive changes going around, and we need to get a clear picture. But clarity is possible, and he gives us three key elements to getting clarity in our life. So let's talk about those three key elements to clarity. Number one is defining moments. What are yours? So you start looking back at your life. Okay, start digging back in your life. I mean, I went back, I started doing this analysis, and I went back and I said, okay, when I was 1, 2, 3, some of those years, you know, I may not have a great memory of. I mean, I have some memories about how my mom raised us and speaking French before I even knew English and some of the tests she did on our minds as little kids. This is a funny one, I'll just tell you. She'd walk into a room, there were four of us, by the way. She had four children in 3.5 years, and I was the baby. So she'd put four of us in a room, and she'd walk in with a cookie sheet with 10 items on it. And she'd walk in, show it to us, and then she'd turn around and walk out, and we had to write down on a piece of paper everything we saw, the 10 items. Now, can you imagine doing this to a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old? This is what she did, right? So this is my mom, but this is what she wanted to train our minds, you know? I mean, this is what she... But, of course, that's not one of my defining moments. So I talked about my defining, and I'm not going to go through my... But I had to dig back in my life. I'll talk about one of them. One of them that caused me to know I would never be without was the defining moment of the chocolate chip cookie. And some of you have heard that story about me, that when we were so poor that when my mom made chocolate chip cookies, she would make all the cookie dough. And, of course, my mother made everything from scratch. She never bought store-bought bakery ever. She'd make everything from scratch, and she would put the cookies on the cookie tray, and then she would take out the Nestle morsels from the cupboard, too high for me to reach. So, and she'd pull them down, and she'd put one chocolate chip in each cookie because that's all we could afford. And I remember I had to eat 10 cookies just to get my chocolate fix, right? And that almost made me sick from all the cookie dough I had to consume just to get the... And I knew at that moment in my life I would never want for chocolate, right? I mean, I just said, I'm going to be successful that money is no object because I am not going to have one chocolate chip in each cookie. So that's what drove me. I mean, that was a driving force in my life. That was a defining moment. So I went back and I started looking at defining moments in my life, and I had about four of them. Each of you might have four, you might have six, but you need to go back and find that. That's going to help you get clarity on the vision that you have today. That's going to give you clarity. So it's important for us to go back and look at those defining moments to enable us to have that clarity. And one of the things you want to really look at when you're looking at these defining moments is think of the most valuable lessons that you've had in your life. If you look at some of the lessons we've had in our life, almost invariably they're going to come at a time when you're most uncomfortable because that's when they happen. So seek out the discomfort in your life and see what lesson was learned as that. And that could be yet another defining moment for you, right? Exactly. A sting of regret can be a defining moment for you. So take a pathway on that, write those down, do some introspection on that, and that'll help you reach clarity. Number two is, once you have defined, you find clarity around what an event might be, you want to experience it. So that's going to help you get more staunch in your clarity or help you resolve that maybe this really isn't what I want. It isn't my vision anyway. So what can clarity, how do you experience it when you can't have it? Let's see, and I'm just going to give you an example. Let's say, I could give you a couple. Let's say that your goal in life is to have a Austin Healey or some $250,000 car. I don't even know what they are. People have names for them, but because I don't care about cars, so it's not a big deal to me. So people have they want this $250,000 car, or let's say you want a mansion by the ocean. That happened to be Vince's and his wife's vision in their life was a mansion on the ocean. So he says, go experience it. So that would mean if I wanted a car, I would go to a dealership of that specific car I want, and I would sit in the car, and I would use all of my senses around the car. I would have the touch, the leather. I would have the smell of the interior, right? I'd go through all. I'd sit in the seat. And then you say, well, what about the, what about the taste, Mary Jo? And I'd say, yeah, well, get a bottle of champagne and celebrate that you own this. This is now yours. So you could celebrate with a bottle of champagne that gives you all your senses. Just like you could go visit somebody's house. You could go to Ray Robbins' house on Lake Grapevine, okay? There's a house on the lake, right? And his house is like 11,000 square feet. And some of you've been in his house. So you could understand that experience around having that kind of house. If that's your goal, that's in with the lazy river out the front side of the house. Anyway, you could experience that. And that's what he says, because experiencing it is really what grabs your heart. You got to use your senses. Your senses need to be activated towards your vision to make it so entrenched in you, to clarify it. So experience it is number two. And number three is, this is a litmus test. Do you have an emotional buzz around it? In other words, just the thought of having it or creating the vision in your mind, does it send tingles up and down your spine? If that doesn't happen, then I'm going to suggest that's not the vision. Because there's actual science behind this. They say that when we're born, there are 120 billion active neurons in our brain, right now. 120 billion active neurons. As we grow, we only have about 10 billion left. So as we grow up, there are only 10 billion left. Others are now dormant. Now, here's important. There's a Dr. Pulso who did a study of these, and he found that in our conscious state, that's our thinking state, every second we use 2,000 neurons. 2,000 neurons are used per second in our conscience. In our subconscious, we use 4 billion neurons per second. So the same second I'm using 2,000 neurons in the ant, I'm using 4 billion in the elephant. Are you following me? This is the whole concept of the ant and the elephant. And the 5 C's we're talking about today are all about how do I get the ant and the elephant in alignment, right? So we want to get that ant on the back of the elephant. We want that. The ant is the conscience. The elephant is the subconscious. If the difference is 2,000 neurons versus 4 billion neurons per second. So when you start asking yourself, you know what, I made the commitment in my head that I'm going to become presidential. Why haven't I become presidential yet? Because the elephant's not engaged. The elephant's not engaged. How can the 4 billion neurons follow along the 2,000 neurons? That's what you want to do. How about the people that say, oh, I'm going on a diet, and then you don't lose any weight? Because the elephant's going, oh, you're not going to do that because I love chocolate and I love this and I love to do these things and I'm not going to do this because of this, this, and this. It brings up all your childhood issues. It stores all the information that you've accumulated all your life long, and it spews that back out because you're programmed to do ABC instead of what your brain is telling you you want to do. So really you can say, but I really wanted it, Mary Jo. Great, but the elephant wasn't going along with you because you haven't reprogrammed the elephant. The elephant carries too much weight. It carries too much power in your life. So you've got to learn how can I get the elephant in the same direction, right? So you remember the concept of putting that emotional buzz to it. The emotional buzz is what helps the mind and the body connect. It helps that number one and number two connect. It helps the ant and the elephant going in the same direction because you got such an emotional buzz around it. What? It tingles all throughout the entire body. And if you don't have that tingling sensation, then it's not going to effectively move you forward in a direction to create what you want to create. So whatever that is for you, you've got to make sure that emotional buzz is there. If you don't have one, fix it. Because all of us have an emotional buzz around something. And many of us have emotional buzzes around a lot of things. But you got to get that in alignment, otherwise the elephant won't go with the ant. Is everybody clear on that? That's what makes this whole thing about ant and elephant so cool. It's about getting alignment between conscious and subconscious, and one of the big ways to do that is getting the emotional commitment behind that. And that's what we need to do, is get that clarity with that emotional commitment. Number two, all right, let's talk about number two, C. Okay, our first C is clarity of vision. Get it. Number two is commitment. Commitment today. What does commitment mean, right? There's different words, different definitions for commitment, but, you know, commitment is one of those things that's evasive. People have different definitions of it. How do we know that? Because everybody gets and stands up to get married, and they say, till death do us part. And I was working with some people over the week, and they said two of their grandsons were getting divorced, and they hadn't even been married for 1 year. How do you, I'm just going, where's that commitment, right? Our divorce rate is over 50% in this country. Where's that commitment? Obviously, we're defining commitment differently in this world. So you got to start looking at what are you committed to? What are you not committed to? What is commitment? What does that word mean for you? And commitment's a tough thing, but that's why it's great. I mean, we got to be totally committed. We got to be all in. We have to be totally all in. So what causes people to fall off commitment? Well, let's talk about Vince Vicente. Let's just go through his example, and you might get some insight into this. So Vince Vicente decided he was going to go to the Olympics, right? Now, when he went and he paid his $1,000 to enter the Olympics, was he committed? And some of you in this would say, yeah, he's committed. He paid put $1,000 on the line. I'm going to say, nope, he's not committed. Because you don't become 100% committed until you hit the slopes. You can always tell if somebody's 100% committed by what they create. If you're not 100% committed until you hit the slopes. Because at any time between now and the time he actually turns those skis down that hill to go 160 miles an hour and lets go, he's not committed. Because could he stop? Could he quit? Could he walk away from it? Absolutely. So he puts the $1,000 down to go to the Olympics. What happens to us between the time we suggest we're committed, like you putting out to yourself, Mary Jo, I'm committed to be executive director by Manifest. What happens between now and Manifest for you? Same thing that happened with Vince. The little green guy shows up, and it's in our head, and it goes like this. Don't do that. That's way outside your comfort zone. You can't do that. You won't find enough people. You don't have enough good materials. You don't have the language down yet to become executive director. You got that, people. We call him the little green guy. He can also be called the voice of doubt. The voice of doubt enters your brain. And you know what's so interesting about that voice of doubt, that little green guy, is that when Vince put the $1,000 down, that's what happened. Don't do that. It's outside your comfort zone. That, right? When he got on the ski lift to go up to traverse the mountain, to take that ride down on his skis, what happened? The little green guy was sitting next to him now in the ski lift. And now the little green guy is looking at him, and his voice is getting a little louder because we're getting closer to the event. And his little green guy goes, your parents will be really sad at your funeral. Okay? So he's starting to, oh, my gosh, now he's hitting your heart. He's hitting aspects of you that are really soulful, that are really emotional, trying to get to all that emotion to shift your gears because there's that voice of doubt. Now he gets to the top of the mountain. You're at the top of the mountain. Now the voice gets the loudest of every, you idiot, you don't have to do this. This is going to kill you. Are you crazy? And you hear this little green voice, and it's not until he turns that ski and starts down the mountain. What happens to the little green guy? He disappears. The voice of doubt is gone because you were committed, and you truly were committed because you ended up doing it. So you get rid of the voice. How do we work with this concept about this little green man, and how do we get this little green man out of our life? If you stand here today and tell me on this call, Mary Jo, I'm committed to be presidential director by the end of the year, that little green man's going to show up in your life frequently between now and December 31st, isn't he? Yeah. He's going to enter in, and he's going to fight with you, and he's going to do all this kind of stuff. Where's the little green man coming from? The voice of doubt comes from your big elephant, right? The little voice of doubt, it's triggered by your subconscious. It throws out little barbs, and it comes up in your conscious as looking like a little green man, the voice of doubt. So you continue to have this little green man show up for you all the way through the next 9 months. Is that hard to deal with? Yeah. Well, here's Vince's suggestion. I think it's beautiful. I think it's incredible. So I build my dream board, and I put on my dream all the things I want, because visualization is really important. But I also put, I have my dream. Here's my commitment. I'm going to be presidential at the end of the year. Now I set that commitment aside. That doesn't mean I break the commitment. I'm totally all in on it. But where's my focus go? He says, let the commitment go to the side and focus and be 100% committed to the next obvious step. Are you following me? Put that presidential over here and say, what is it going to get? Where am I right now? If I'm only a regional director, I need to get to national. I need to get to executive. So my next most obvious step is hitting national director. Now, that's a more of a bite-sized step. So if I can get 100% committed to hitting national by a certain date, now I'm that much closer to making my overall commitment to getting to presidential. I thought it was marvelous. I love the idea. I think some of us do that already, but I think acknowledging it to help you get rid of that little green guy to put you on a track to success is crucially important. So let's all do that. Let's make sure we're doing that and we're getting that out there. There are a couple other ways that you can elevate your commitment level, right, to make sure that you're committed. And let me give you those. And some of you, I've taught this before because some of this actually is right out of the Clemmer book as well. But a couple other ways to increase that commitment, increase that you're all in, is number one is to tell other people. Right. You can go find some people, surround yourself with people. And I don't mean somebody like your husband or your wife, because they're going to love you no matter what, so there's no stress involved in that commitment. But make a commitment to some of your friends. Make a commitment to some of the people that are important to you, that you look up to in your community. And you can say, you know, like Ann said today, I'm going to the top. You can look at some people and say, I'm going to be presidential director in this company. And I said, you know, let's plan on a trip next year, because I'm going to be making $10,000 a month. And I'd like to join you on a cool trip together. So let's go to Europe or France together, right, or something like that. You can talk to people and get people to support you and that you're going to make this happen. Because, you know, it's a concept that when you get people around you and you find and you tell other people, you put in motion, and things in motion stay in motion. It's a law of physics. So it's just like looking at my organization today. I've put things in motion. I started a year ago last November committing to my business, saying I'm all in. I believe I can get back to where I was before the Texas AG. I can believe I can get back to Silver Presidential and onward to Platinum. So that's what I'm doing. And it took me 12 months before I really saw any kind of growth happening. Now, in the last three business periods, we've had over, 22% growth in three business periods. That's pretty awesome, right? And I had 8% all of last year. So it's like getting the momentum, but it's a law of physics. I'm tapping into laws of nature. Things in motion stay in motion. So get things in motion, okay? And it's like getting it out there and keep doing it. And these people are going to help you stay accountable. So tell other people. The second thing is put money where your mouth is. Put money where your mouth is. So that's another thing. Your friend that you told about, I'm going to make it to the top, so let's plan something. Why not put a deposit on a trip to France next March? Of course, don't let it interfere with your manifest plans. We don't know when that's going to be. But make a plan to go there and put a deposit down. Put money where your mouth is and watch what happens. That absolutely increases your commitment level. So commitment, huge. Number three, consistency. Successful people always apply ACS. It's what is ACS? Apply consistent strategies. Now, there's one thing that kind of gets in our way, and let's talk about it. It's called delayed gratification. Delayed gratification. See, we're a society today that white. We are a society that's all about instant gratification. We want it now. You look at our credit card debt in our country, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? It's absolutely true. We are all out there, and we're all getting, you know, that's why we want it now. We have a credit card. We can have it. There's nothing about delayed gratification. There was a study done. Here's an interesting statistic for you. There was a study done in the 1960s, Stanford researcher. He took all the kids of the children of the staffers and the faculty that were 4 years old. So I had a group of like 60 of these four-year-old children, right? And he got them in a room, and he put a juicy marshmallow in front of each one of them. And all of them, you could see them drooling. They couldn't wait to eat that marshmallow. And, you know, four-year-old kids aren't the best disciplined, right? But this was probably an inordinately high intelligence group because they were like, you know, faculty staff children. So anyway, so he has all these four-year-old children. And he tells these four-year-old kids, he says, if I leave and come back and you haven't eaten the marshmallow in front of you, he pulled another marshmallow out of a bag. He said, I'll give you a second marshmallow. You'll get two marshmallows instead of one. So he walked out of the room and leaving for 5 minutes, and two-thirds of the children did everything they could possibly do to entertain themselves and keep their eyes off of the mushroom, because they know if they looked at the mushroom too long, they would eat it. So they got their eyes off the mushroom, they started talking, they did other things, they distracted themselves from looking at that marshmallow because they didn't want to eat that marshmallow. They truly wanted a second. One-third of the kids looked at the marshmallow and ate it. They didn't have any patience. They were going to eat it no matter what. So the guy comes back in the room, and, of course, they found the results. Two-thirds of the kids got a second marshmallow. The other ones didn't. At 18 years old, they went back and studied these same children. And you know what they found? The two-thirds of the kids that had delayed gratification performed at a much higher level in school. They were good kids. They had got good marks. The one-third that ate those marshmallows lickety-split were the ones that had bad marks. They were getting in trouble. They're getting all across the board. Isn't that amazing? So delayed gratification isn't just a concept, people. It's a conceptual idea that we apply to human character. It says something about our human character. So if people who have delayed gratification create better results in their life, what do you want to choose for your life? I can look back last year. I'm going to take it back to Manatech. You know, a year ago last November when I made the commitment to my business again, and I jumped into last year, and what did I say? I didn't look at my picture saying, I want to be platinum by the end of the year. I just sat back and said, you know what? I'm making a goal. Here's the bite size. I didn't know I was applying Vince's work, and I was doing it all along. I said, every business period, I want to increase my GPV. So I took bite-sized goals because I didn't have to worry about a little green man entering all that doubt in my head. He might have still popped up once in a while, especially when we got to that last day and we were 2,000 off or something. We got into dialing like crazy, right? But Lydia and I did it. We only missed like one business period all last year. So I didn't see a tremendous amount of growth. Was I rewarded in an immense way in 12 months? No. I wasn't rewarded in an immense way. I mean, I had some growth. I didn't watch my business shrink, but I had some growth. But I didn't see phenomenal growth. But you know what? Delayed gratification. I didn't need to see that because all of a sudden this year, guess what's happening? The momentum started. That snowball started down the hill, and eventually it picked up steam, and now it's starting to show up. So how awesome is that? It's delayed gratification. We need to have that. It's like another way of looking at it is putting, you know, getting a 5-gallon pot of water and dropping blue drops in it. And you want to create blue water, and you put one drop at a time. You can only put one drop a day. If you put one drop in a 5,000-gallon of blue dye, what's going to happen? It still looks like water. It might take you 3 months before you even get a tincture of blue color in it with only one drop per day. But if you stay committed, guess what happens? Where else do we hear the same principle? How about The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson? If we make just a tiny bit differences in our life over an extended period of time, they create incredible results. That's also called delayed gratification. We choose today because it's the right thing to do. We know the results it possibly can create. So we choose it and we do it around discipline in our life. So he says about consistency, what do we want to do? We want to have consistent behavior. He said form four columns and put different things in each column. One of them is like high leverage activities. What are activities that are going to create a difference in your life that you want to do consistently? And I tell people to go to that activity tracker for the flight team in the library if you don't understand what high leverage activities are for our business. Number two is our physical being. What am I doing? What am I eating? What am I drinking? What is my physical nature that's inconsistent with me being successful in a health business? So do I need to lose weight? What am I doing about that? Do I need to start exercising every day? Do I need to start eating better? Do I need to stop drinking Diet Cokes? Do I need that? Whatever that is for you, make that list of physical changes you need in life, and you need to do it consistently. Technical changes. Here's one that I loved from him that I never heard of before. Do what the competition is not willing to do. Do what the competition is not willing to do. So what might that be? What it might be is something like, I met with a woman this weekend and her son was having serious problems. And she's going to start him on some of the products. Now, she's under somebody else and not in my, you know, not per se. I don't even know that she signed up. I think somebody just gifted her some products. But I found out her address behind the scenes, and I'm going to send her son, Rudy, a card in the mail. I'm going to do what my competition isn't willing to do. Go the extra mile. Do the extra touch. It'll take me 10 minutes to do that, and it might make all the difference in the world for an 11-year-old kid. Or start him in a direction. That's what we're here to do, is to touch other people's lives. So how are we doing that? What are we doing to go that extra mile? What are we doing the competition's not willing to do? Add that into your daily routine and what a difference it'll make. Next, mental training. The fourth column is mental training. What are you doing to help your brain? What are you doing to reprogram that brain? What are you doing to reprogram your aunt, your elephant, so that your elephant and your aunt can work together? Is that critical for you? Absolutely. It's critical. Well, there's a physician out there. He's a French physician, and his name was Émile Coux. Now, I want to tell you, in your outline, it's not spelled right. That was how it was phonetically, and I didn't find it, and I found it after the outline went out. And his name is Émile Coux. It's C-O-U-E, accent aigu, if you guys know French. Accent aigu is a line that goes at an angle going downward. It's like a front slash, forward slash over the top of the E. Okay, Émile Coux. He's a French physician in the early 1920s, and he studied our minds, and he found that people gravitate to two things. They gravitate to things that are true, and they gravitate to the current dominant thoughts. Well, think about it. If we gravitate to current dominant thoughts, how do we create dominant thoughts in our head? How do we do that? And Vince Pacente came up with an incredible idea, which I love. In fact, I went out there and got about 100 of these things. So you look at this and see if this works for you. But I highly suggest it. It's called the yellow dot technique. See, he went out and he got these little yellow dots. They're only about quarter inch in diameter. And they're yellow dots. And he puts the yellow dots on his mirror. He puts it in his car, on his rearview mirror. Lydia put hers on her smartphone. I mean, we put these yellow dots around our house. You know, we put it next to our bedstand. We put it on our bathroom mirror. We put it in the shower maybe where it won't get wet and wash away. I mean, you take these yellow sticky dots and you put them around your house. And what the yellow dot represents is your vision. I am a platinum presidential, or I am a presidential director, or I am a national director, or whatever that vision is for you. Or I have, for Vince Pacente, I have a mansion on the ocean. That's what it represents. The word, it's just more powerful. This is more powerful for you because what you're doing is you're reprogramming. You're making it a dominant thought in your life. And we're attracted. What? We create our dominant thoughts. And he says, he takes one more step. He says, instead of saying, I am a platinum presidential or I am a presidential director, he says, come from a sense of gratitude. Thank you for our mansion by the ocean. That's what he says. Every time he sees his yellow dots, thank you for our mansion by the ocean. As a man thinketh, so is he. Law of attraction. And now you have the science, Émile Coux, who says we are attracted and we attract what is our dominant thoughts. So how do I work on creating my dominant thoughts, right? Yeah, he also went through some relaxation, double relaxation therapy. You can check out his website and look at that to help support you as well. So pretty awesome. We're in the yellow dots scenario right now. We got yellow dots going on around our place. Lydia's got him on her phone. Like I said, it's a wonderful way to keep in front of us what that vision is, the clarity of the vision, and now we put it in front of us as a dominant thought to help us create it so we have consistency of behavior. Number four is confidence. How do we create confidence? Well, confidence is a tough thing because some of you are out there walking around going, wow, I don't have confidence. I don't think I can do it. I don't, you know, and I helped you with languaging. You know, we had some scripts last week, which I got tons of feedback from the field on that. People are loving those. And now we're building a whole business, you know, presentation. I mean, we just really are driving this in every possible way. So we're increasing people's confidence because we're allowing them to feel, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. But another way, we build confidence by being successful, right? Little bite-sized successes. So it's about how do I create bite-sized successes? Well, you can do that by trying small things and giving yourself kudos for accomplishing small things. Like if this week you wanted to sign up 2 new people and you go, well, if you don't, is that going to rob you of confidence? So maybe my idea isn't no longer about sign-ups. My concept is consistent behavior that creates results. So if you do 3 presentations a day, you will have consistent behavior that will create results. So you don't necessarily have to base it on sign-ups. Base it on consistent behavior that creates results. And that's what will eventually create results. Okay? So develop the behavioral patterns and consistency that will create the results. But the idea here is that how do I establish confidence? He gave a great, and here's another concept for you. What if you don't want to go out there and experience because you're afraid, you have fears of certain things? Because if you have fear, you can't have confidence, can you? Fear and confidence don't coexist. So he says, here's a way that you can do this. Build flashcards. In other words, take every single day to come up with 5 strategies on flashcards. Every day. Five scenarios on flashcards. And what you're going to do is you're going to find stressful scenarios. Like, what would be a stressful scenario in network marketing? You call your mom and dad and say, hey, mom, dad, I'm getting involved in a network marketing company. And your parents say, what a joke. I didn't send you to college to do this pyramid scheme, right? So they say all this garbage at you. Is that a stressful situation? Yeah, because I don't care who you are. You want your parents to be proud of you. It doesn't matter. We all want our parents to be proud of us. So you write that on a flashcard. So you write, make 5 of those today, and you write them down. And then you work on those flashcards, and you come out with, and you work on them to come out, how am I going to respond to this? What does this look like for me? How do I overcome this? And you overcome it. Now what you've done is you've totally denuded anyone who says that to you. And you can do that with any kind of objection you hear out there that stops you or causes you some harm or pain or makes you feel weak. Write those down in a flashcard and work on them. What is my response going to be? How am I going to respond to that? And build it into your as a dominant thought for you, the confidence that you have. Somebody in my organization this weekend said, Mary Jo, you know, this person doesn't want his wife to get involved in network marketing because he thinks it's just a big scam and it's a big scheme and it's a big thing. And I said, well, how about if I write an email to him? I mean, I'm a lawyer by profession. I now just have a different profession. It's called network marketing professional. That's what I've become. So I wrote an email to her, and she was astounded. She loved it. So that's what we need. We need to build something. And I went through all the scenarios of, you know, have you heard of the Wall Street Journal? Well, you know, the Wall Street Journal called this the ultimate social business model. Here's a list of some of the quotes out of that article. Do you respect the Wall Street Journal? Do you respect Stephen Covey? Do you respect any of these huge business minds? Well, then maybe we ought not be calling it. And I went through the transformation network marketing. You know, 50 years ago, it was a different scenario. There's a lot of hypiness and manipulation and all that. It doesn't happen. I mean, people are still probably doing that today, but they're not very effective. Today, it's all about heart, and it's all about authenticity. I mean, I talked about my network market, my experience at the Network Marketing Professional National Convention, which was awesome, off the charts. So it was fun to do that. But people, we need to overcome those lack of confidence that we have by building scenarios that are stressful and then overcoming them, right? So let me jump in and just go over the last one because I know we're running out of time. Control is the last one. Control is about when I go in a meeting, control. When I go down one-on-one, when I make a phone call with somebody, when I interact with somebody I'd like in my business, how do I get control? I can't control my environment, can I? But what can I control? I can control me. So how do I support myself? It's a 5-item routine that helps support you, that will help you in dealing with any situation that you feel any kind of tenseness around. Number 1, get there early. Whenever you have an appointment, never show up late. The minute you show up late, stress immediately enters the picture. Plus, you're also disrespecting the other person. If you disrespect somebody, do they want to be your business partner? Absolutely not. Not a chance. So quit disrespecting people. So be there early. And some of you go, well, Mary Jo, I left at 10 minutes too. It's only a 9 minute, 59 second trip. But there was a car accident that held me back for 3 extra minutes. I go, don't leave it with 10 minutes when you only have 1 second to spare. Anything could happen out there. So leave a half an hour early. Who cares if you get there 10, 20 minutes early? Be on time, right? Always be early. Number two, breathe. Oxygenate your system. Again, this is physiological. It works. You take a big, deep breath in, and you let all that breath out, and you push to the deepest of your diaphragm until you have no air left. And then the smart people will, of course, take another breath. Right, exactly. You know, but that helps take stress out of your life. Number three, you visualize the outcome. You bring an emotional buzz around the outcome. I'm going to help this person understand this business, and they are going to become a new business builder, right? Or I'm going to help this person see the need for these products for their children, and they will become a new member in my organization. Whatever it is, visualize it. And then four is vortex technique. This is the imagination that you need. You know, we all need energy. I shouldn't say that. Most people need energy. Some people said, don't ever use that technique around us, Mary Jo, right? Most of us need energy when we're around people. We need to, you know, how do I get that source of energy? Because people don't want to be around people that are dull and dry and, you know, uninspired. You want to be inspired and you want to be excited about what you have and what you have to offer. So imagine this huge fire hose into the top of your head that's just filling you with energy. Just, that's a vortex technique. It's using your imagination to picture something that's happening. And then that's how you set yourself up for higher levels of energy, because you just got totally filled by a fire hose connected to your head. And then finally, number five is make a decision to have fun, because fun is the absolute opposite end of fear. You can't be in fear and have fun, right? So have fun with it. Vince told a story about he went into a fish store, and this guy was, like, showing him around at all these fish tanks. He goes, oh, my gosh, look at this one. This one is like this, and this one is like this. You can't have it. It's inconceivable, and you can build your own fish tank. And he took him over. He goes, look at this tank over here. You can build your own fish tank with your own personality in it. And you do this, and you do this, and you do that. And Vince goes, I walked out of the store after spending $3,000. And they said, the whole reason I spent $3,000 is because the guy who was at the store. He was so excited and so thrilled, and he was having so much fun. He raptured me. He got me involved in the fun of the moment. And I didn't intend to spend $3,000, but guess what? You know, it was really hilarious. So he just tells that story. So anyway, people, these are just concepts to help you with your business. Go to Vince's website. There's a test on his website about the 5 C's to see how good you are in the 5 C's. You can kind of take that to see where you are today and maybe incorporate some of these things that help you be better, help you accomplish new things in your business, be better at your business, and start on your path of discovery. I say discovery because some of you aren't really today. If I asked everybody on this call, how many of you really have clarity of vision in your life? If you don't, then you're not going to go anywhere. Clarity of vision is crucial. It's kind of that know your why. Know your why. Know that thing that gives you an emotional buzz, that sends tingles up and down your spine. For me right now, it's those building those churches in Brazil. I'm telling you, tingles go up and down my spine over that. So it doesn't have to be something that's just singularly, but, you know, if I'm Platinum Presidential, how many churches can I build in Brazil? I can fill Minas Gerais, and then I can move on to the next state. You know, it's just a delight to be able to have that vision and goal and set those things for yourself. So pick what that is for you. Get clarity of vision. And then, you know, start applying that yellow dot strategy to make some of those things, that vision that you have, make that your most dominant thought. Okay, everybody, great. Hope you enjoyed Vince Pacini. I take no credit. This is Vince's materials. I just, you know, was able to take it and hopefully apply it to Manatech as a business for you, and hopefully you can see that in your life. Anyone, comments, questions before we go? I am getting long-winded on these Monday calls. I need to start cutting off at 11 o'clock. Anyone? Okay, everybody, have a great week. Don't forget, Manafest. don't forget to get on board and get out there and get those consistent behavioral patterns down so that you create the results you want in your life. And of course, you got to figure out what that result is you want in your life first before you can be effective at creating those results. I love you all, and I hope and pray for all of you to have a very successful week this week. And let's go out there and take advantage of our new PV on PAX. That means we're going to be signing up all stars. Okay. All right, everybody. Love you all. Have a great week. We'll talk back next Monday morning.